Our sermon text this morning comes from 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy verses 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll read verses 3 through 6. Where it says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Amen. You may be seated. And let's pray together. Thank you, our Father, for gathering us together. Thank you for giving us your word and sending forth your spirit. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would give us understanding, that our minds would be fixed on your word, and that you would show us the beauty and glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the good news that you have given us in Jesus' name. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Sermon title this morning is A Faith Legacy. A Faith Legacy. And what we want to talk about this morning is the idea of genuine faith. What is genuine faith? And to understand that God calls us to genuine faith. Now, in the physical world, we're very interested in things being genuine and not fake. For example, there are tests that jewelers use to make sure that gold is really gold and not colored metal, which is less valuable. And so there are tests to make sure that gold is really gold. For example, there is the observation test. You look at it and see what it looks like. Look for engravings. If you find a number and then a K, then you know how many carats of gold there are. That is how much percent of it is actually gold. Then you look at it and see if there's any corrosion or rust. If there's rust or corrosion, then it's likely it's not 100% gold. There's the magnet test. Gold is not a magnetized metal. So if you put a magnet to it, it should not be attracted to the magnet if it is 100% gold. If there is some attraction, then it's an alloy. And then there's also the acid test, that gold, when scratched and put into an acid, it shouldn't turn the acid color. It should be unreactive because gold is relatively unreactive with acids. And so those are the tests. There are other tests also, but those might be beyond what you could do in your home. Suffice it to say, there are ways of testing whether gold is genuine, whether it's the real deal or if it's fake. And there are tests for our faith to see whether it is genuine. We see examples of what genuine faith does in this passage before us this morning. And so God calls us to genuine faith. And there are certain things that genuine faith does. And Paul gives great examples of that in our passage. For example, genuine faith thanks God. Do you notice in our passage right there in verse 3, Paul says, I thank God. I thank God. And that's a good place to start. Start with God and start with thanksgiving. Amen? Amen? And so Paul thanks God. It is good to thank God in all situations. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and to thank God for all things. Ephesians 5:20. Why would we thank God for all things? Well, we know that God is going to work all things for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Doesn't necessarily mean that the things are good. The things may actually be bad. But God is able to work them for your ultimate good in every single situation. Do you believe that? That's our God. That's what he is able to do, and that's what he says he will do. Amen? And we need to trust him. Just like Job, who said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Amen. And so it is good to give thanks to God in all situations and for all things. And Paul thanks God for Timothy. And this is not a departure from his typical pattern. He typically thanks God for the people that God has brought into his life and that God is at work in. And so what a great pattern it is for us to thank God for the people that God has put in our lives, the people around us, and to thank God for his work in them. And so thank God. Thank God for the work that he's begun in all of you and that he will complete to the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. So let's thank God. And genuine faith also worships God with a pure conscience. He says, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience. And so Paul serves God. The word translated serve, it means to serve in worship. And so Paul worships with a pure conscience. Now, how could Paul say that he has a pure conscience? Well, we have to understand that in light of the gospel, in light of the grace of God. Paul's conscience was purified by the grace of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he says pure conscience, we should read that it's a purified conscience, purified by the gospel. Because in another letter of Paul, Paul says, it is a faithful saying that Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief, or of whom I am the prime sinner. And so Paul understands that his standing before God is by grace. It's not because Paul was such a great person. In fact, Paul says that he was a blasphemer and an insolent and a violent man. And so what did God do in Paul? He took out the heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh, a heart that loves God, a heart that loves God's people, and made Paul into a new creation. And he is able to do that with any one of us, and has done it in me. Thank God. Thank God for the new creation in Christ. Amen. And so, a pure conscience is something that God does, and he brings us to a place where we want to worship him. We want to worship him in three ways: alone, with our families, and with our church family in the church. And so let's look forward to those times of worship. It's not that, oh, I have to serve God and worship. It's I get to serve God and worship. It's a privilege. Thank God that he has reoriented us so that we want to worship. We want to worship alone. We want to worship in our families, with our children, with our grandchildren, and with our parents when the Lord enables. And we want to worship. We want to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day, worshiping him. Amen? And so may the Lord give us that that genuine faith that desires worship. And that genuine faith is the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not something that we have to make. It's something that God gives us by grace, received through faith. It's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Genuine faith also remembers loved ones, prays night and day, thanking God. And we see that also in verse 3, where Paul says, as without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. And so Paul remembers Timothy, remembering him in his prayers night and day. Sometimes Paul would have sleepless nights, and those times of sleeplessness, he would be praying. And that's a good pattern for us. If you're having trouble sleeping, set your mind to praying. Amen? I'm a witness. Are the other witnesses out there? Amen. So that's one way of working it for good. Amen? Amen? And so we pray without ceasing. We pray those prayers of thanksgiving, pray those prayers of remembrance, and God hears those prayers. And what else does genuine faith do? Well, genuine faith desires fellowship. He says in verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. And so Paul greatly desires fellowship. And it's true that faith seeks out like faith. In other words, I don't know about you, but I'm glad when I see a brother or sister and maybe meet a brother or sister that I've never met before, but you can tell they love the Lord. And immediately you have this fellowship. And fellowship is a good thing. I'm thankful for what we can do with FaceTime or Zoom. That's a good thing to have, but far better to be face to face. And that's what Paul longed for. He longed for, he desired greatly. And same word is used in 2 Peter, where we're encouraged to, like newborn babes, strongly desire the milk of the word. We're to strongly desire fellowship. Just like we need the word, we also need fellowship. We need to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ and strongly desire that. Amen?
Amen.
And we have full joy in that fellowship. I'm glad to be here with you, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm glad you're here, and it gives me great joy to be here with you. Thank God. Thank God for the fellowship that he gives. And we need to seek that out, because fellowship is actually one of the means of grace, one of the ways that God causes us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a command that we grow. And so we want to be diligent to use the means that help us grow. And one of those means is fellowship. And so I need to encourage you to make it a priority to be in fellowship when church comes together, when we assemble together. That's when we need to be together to pray, to worship, to hear God's word. When you joined this church, you took vows that you would support the worship and the work of the church. And so I would encourage you to follow through with that promise, and to encourage you that God will bless you as you are faithful to that promise. And that if you're not faithful, then it's not going to be to your benefit. You will miss out. And we will miss you, because we're called to stir one another up to love and good deeds when we get together. And if you're not here, you can't stir us up, and we can't stir you up. And so we will miss you. And I don't know if you've ever heard it put this way. When you're absent, that your Mount Carmel family missed you today. And that's true. And then also, if we don't see you for a long time, eventually we have to send you one of those letters that says, you've had prolonged absence. Please come back. And in that way, we won't have to remove your name from the rolls. Because having your names on the rolls means something. It means that you're part of this body and that you support the worship and the work of the church. And so we hope that that your name being on the rolls is a genuine thing, that it means something, that it's not just we're holding a space here, but that that you're part of the body and part of what the church is all about. And so if you're here, We thank God for that. And we pray that the Lord enables you to worship and participate and be active and interactive in the body and do all those good things like pray, read the word, encourage one another, and be part of the life of the church. Amen? Amen. And so Paul has this full joy. He says, I greatly desire to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. And then another thing he sees is the faith legacy. He sees the sincere faith that is in Timothy, but then also that came from Timothy's family. So what is the faith legacy? The faith legacy is faith spread from one generation to the next. Faith spread from one generation to the next. And we see that in the lives. Well, in Paul's life, he says that he is serving God with a pure conscience as his forefathers did. So Paul's forefathers had genuine faith, and then Paul had that faith as well by God's grace. And then you see in Lois and Eunice, we read about that in verse 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, and the word translated genuine is unhypocritical. Again, the idea of something that is real, something that is authentic. And so it's the real deal. It's not fake. And it's really because God is real. God created everything out of nothing and all very good. And so God is real. Amen. And he has given us genuine faith through his son, Jesus. And so we want to see that faith legacy, that genuine faith passed on to all those that we care for. And so we pray that they would believe. And we especially pray for our children and our children's children, because we want them to have what we have. Amen? And that's the faith legacy. Faith spread from one generation to the next. And that faith, in Timothy's case, started with his grandmother Lois, and then was passed to his mother Eunice. And Paul is persuaded that that faith is in Timothy also. And so, how did that faith get into Timothy? How did that faith begin to dwell in him? Well, we find out about that actually in 2 Timothy 3. Just turn the page to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 14, where Paul writes, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There are a number of things going on there. Verse 14, continue in the things which you have learned. How did he learn these things? Well, it's not likely that he learned them from his father, because his father was a Greek. It doesn't say that he had faith, so it's not likely that he did. And the focus is on the faith of his mother and his grandmother. So in all likelihood, it's his grandmother and his mother who taught Timothy. And so mothers, grandmothers, like Lois, like Eunice, they can have a huge kingdom impact on their children and grandchildren. And so I want to encourage you, mothers, any mothers here? Grandmothers, amen. Make disciples of all nations, amen. And start with your children and grandchildren, amen. What is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus. Amen? Amen? Jesus said, come follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Amen. Amen. So we follow Jesus, and he shows us, he teaches us, he leads us, and we continue to follow him as we read his word and as his Holy Spirit teaches us. Amen? Amen. And so, what an awesome thing that Lois and Eunice did in teaching Timothy, raising up a future leader in God's church. And so, we thank God for that. Amen? Amen. And so, grandmothers, mothers, and fathers and grandfathers, teach those children, teach those grandchildren the scriptures. Why? Because it's the scriptures that are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Who wants to be wise? Who wants to be saved through Christ Jesus? Read those scriptures, because they will show us Jesus and they'll show us the way of salvation. Amen? And so we want to trust not in what we did, but in what Jesus did on the cross. He poured out his blood to wash away our sins. And the Bible says, if we believe on him, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus doesn't mean just saying the words. It means meaning, yes, I believe in him as my Lord and my Savior. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. In other words, if you believe the gospel, if you believe the truth about Jesus, if you believe in him as Lord and Savior, you will be saved. And so I urge you, if you haven't yet believed him as your Lord and Savior, that you do that today. You could do that even now in your heart by trusting in him and calling on him, Lord, please save me by faith. And if you honestly call on him to do that, he will do that, because he is an awesome Savior. Amen? Amen. And so we want to see the faith legacy, faith passed from one generation to the next. And then another thing that Genuine faith does, it stirs one another up. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1, he says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. Now, the word translated stir up means to rekindle and fan back into flame. And so if you've ever tended a fire, you know that after a while, a fire starts to burn low, and the fuel is spent, and there's a lot of ash, and so you have to stir it up to find the embers that are still burning, and then you add more fuel to the fire, and then you fan it back into full flame. And nothing wrong with the fire. Fires tend to burn down, and then more fuel has to be added. And it's the same thing with our flame of faith. We need to add more fuel from time to time. And so we add God's word. We add prayer. We add fellowship. And that's how we stir up the faith to full flame. Amen? And so, beloved, let's stir one another up. Let's burn hot together with the flame of God's love. Amen? 2 Peter 1:13, Peter says, yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, or as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by reminding you. And so Peter wanted to stir up the believers to full flame while he's still in the body, and to encourage them. And he writes 2 Peter so that they'll be stirred up after he goes to glory. And don't we need reminders to be stirred up? And Paul knows that, and so he says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Well, God gave Timothy a gift to be able to be a elder and pastor of the church in Ephesus. And God has given each one of us gifts for the edification of the church. And we don't all have the same gifts. Some of us have serving gifts. Some of us have teaching gifts. But to each one of us, God has given gifts according to the gift of Christ, says in Ephesians 4. And so we want to use what God has given for the benefit, not of ourselves, but the benefit of the whole body. And so we need to be reminded to stir up what God has given so that the whole body will benefit. Again, a good reason why we need to be together so that we can stir one another up to love and good deeds and to stir one another up to full flame. Because the flame can go down. And Jesus even said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? And then also, speaking of the end times, that there will be times when love will grow cold. And so that's a time when we need to stir one another up. And that's the time when we need to fan back into flame and to not lose our first love for Jesus. And so we see in Revelation, same kind of thing. And that, John writes to the Ephesians in Revelation. Revelation 3. He says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but Revelation chapter 2, excuse me. He says, I know your works, that you labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars, and you have persevered, and you have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. So there, John the Apostle gives all those reasons, all those good things that were being done at the church of Ephesus. But he had something against them. And he gives good first, but then he gives the censure in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And so they can be doing all those wonderful things, and those were good things they needed to be doing, but there was a problem in that they had left their first love. And so he encourages them, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place. And so the most important thing is that we maintain a love and a first love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We love him because he first loved us. And so we want to continue in that love, and we want to encourage one another to continue in that love. Let's fan into full flame and not lose our first love for Jesus. Amen. God calls us to genuine faith that thanks God, that worships with a pure conscience, that prays, that desires fellowship, and sees the faith legacy and stirs one another up. Let's walk in that genuine faith together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, our Father. Thank you for giving us the gift of faith, and also giving us the wisdom through your scriptures so that we could be saved through faith in Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would give each one here that measure of genuine faith to trust in Jesus and to be saved from the wrath that is to come. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you for these brothers and sisters and attenders here. We pray that all of them would be yours and that you would save all of us. We pray for our children and grandchildren who don't yet know you. We pray that in due time they would all believe and trust Jesus and be saved. We thank you for these blessings. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the peace that comes through your Son, Jesus. We thank you and praise you in his name. Amen. Amen. Amen.